Bible says, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet of prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Brother Bill Turner, could you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Please. Amen. If you read Jeremiah, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He's the one that saw that what was going to come to Israel. He saw the things that were that the Lord was preparing. And I can't go through all of this to give you the history of all this. And I don't even know the history that well. But understand this: Jeremiah used illustrations a lot. He showed the people by example of an illustration a lot. Here you've got Jeremiah with a yoke on his back. He's showing the people something. He's showing the people that there's a yoke of wood. Understand this. The difference here, and what I want to bring the attention to, is they change out the yoke of wood for a yoke of iron. Now understand this. The reason that they show this is because a yoke of wood is for a lighter burden than it is the yoke of iron. The yoke of iron is made to carry a heavier burden. The yoke of wood is made to carry one thing. The yoke of iron is made to carry another. Now, I want to liken this to our lives. And we've been talking about service for the last couple of Sunday school classes. And I spoke to you last time about the one person getting 5 talents and turning it 5 talents more, getting 2 talents more, both returning 100%, and both the Lord saying, well done. Now, I want you to think about one other thing, though, and I don't know exactly how this is going to go, but I want you to think with me. I'm going to make a statement to you. You have a comparison of 2 yokes here, and Jeremiah is saying, the Lord is telling Jeremiah, because you broke the yoke of wood, I'm going to make you a yoke of iron. Now, Christian, I'm going to make a statement to you right now, and I want you to know this. I believe everybody in this room that's under the sound of my voice has accepted the Lord as Savior. You have a yoke. You are not exempt from this yoke. You have a yoke. This yoke has been given to you. You cannot get out of the yoke. You're not exempt from the yoke. There is no age that says the yoke is now off. There is no time that the yoke comes off. You have a yoke. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You have a reasonable service. You have a yoke that's been put upon you. Now, understand this. You need to recognize that there is a yoke upon you. As a Christian, you need to understand that you are a saved person that has a job to do. God has given every one of us a job. Now, understand this. Serving the Lord, I want to show you a verse in Scripture. Serving the Lord is a yoke. Doing something for Him is a yoke. And by the way, He deserves to be able to put a yoke on you. He deserves to get it, to put a yoke upon you. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11 very quickly. And I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, but I want to show you something first before I give you the points of this lesson. And the reason I'm telling you this, Christian, listen, time is growing short. This world's crazy. Right is wrong, wrong is right. Everything's going nuts, okay? I take great hope in that. These are days that are some of the most exciting times to be a Christian. You are going to get to see some things that all the other preachers in the past have been preaching about. We're going to get to see it. I believe that the Lord could come back today. Are you telling me that we're not seeing enough signs even right now today that the Lord is going to come back? You're looking at 1, maybe 2 years before every queer in the whole wide world is going to be held up as heroes. You are already seeing it right now. In the NBA, that man came out and they're holding him up as a hero. Let me ask you a question. I pose this question to the college and career class, and this might sound a little risque to you. But can I ask you, why in the world would you hold up a human being for who they have sex with? Can you answer me that question? What is being a queer? Come on now. This might be harsh to you, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people saying, well, it's all right. I'm tired of people saying it's okay. I'm tired of people saying, well, glory to God, he's just living his own love life. He's just living that alternate lifestyle. That's not an alternate lifestyle. It's sin. Now, let me ask you something. When is the last time you were held up for who you're having sex with? Are you kidding me? That makes him a great man because he's having sex with a man? Oh, it's brave that he's coming out. Why is it brave? I'm a heterosexual. Should I shout it from the housetops, get my face on Sports Illustrated because I'm having sex with my wife? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Why in the world would you want that to be your hero? I got to be honest with you. I changed. I call them queeros. He's a pioneer for the NBA, okay? A pie a queer. I'm not going to kowtow to it. By the way, let me tell you, you think this is it? Huh? If this is it? Let me explain something to you. Can I ask you a question? And here I'm going to stick with this for a minute. You got a yoke upon you. And you get mad at me all you want to. I'm sick and tired of it. And you probably have gay people in your family. Nobody has a person closer to him than me that was a queer. Don't even talk to me about it. If anybody in this room's got the right to talk about this, it's me. So you can back right off of me. If you're thinking you're going to stare me down thinking you're bad, let me explain something to you. My mama was a queer. Don't you? It has caused more damage in my family than it'll ever cause in yours. Now let me explain something to you. Never one time in the whole wide world did God want that to be held up. And if you don't think we're in the end times because of all this craziness going on, you're nuts. Here's a problem. They don't allow me to go in the girls' locker room. Do you know why they don't allow me to go in the girls' locker room? Because I'm a guy, dummy. I ought not be there. Can I ask you something? Well, this sounds harsh, right? What are they going to do when he's in the locker room with other men? Huh? Now, I understand that. I understand. I couldn't reach his head anyways. He's 7'2". I'm going to punch him. I'm going to stand on a chair. Listen, I'm not worried about that part of it. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with him? And their answer is, don't flatter yourself. I like somebody else. You put a guy in a locker room full of women, he may like somebody else, but he's going to look at the other women. Do you think that man's not looking at the other men? What are we going to do with him? You got a problem on your hands in America today holding these queers up as they're something special. But let me help you. God died for them just like he died for you. And don't you take me in the robe and say, well, God gave them over to reprobate mind. Their light's gone out. They can't be saved. Don't you dare go there. That's not your call. That's God's call. And God can save anybody, including that man that just came out and said he's a queero. Let me tell you, I guarantee you God can save that man. And don't you start saying, well, a queer cannot possibly be saved. You better be very careful. That's not your call either. The Bible never says to make sure of another man's salvation. The Bible says to make sure of yours. You say, well, you're going liberal. I'm not going liberal. That man has a soul, and he needs to be saved. But I'm not going to uphold the sin as something special. I got that off my chest. Praise the Lord. And by the way, that talk that I just did, if that goes on the internet, that right now, I promise you, is hate speech. But let me help you. I hate that sin. That destroyed a relationship with my mother for 10 years. 10 years. Destroyed a relationship. I hate that sin. Some of you hate the sin of alcoholism because it's destroyed your lives. You hate that sin. I think we ought to hate all sin. Even the sin you're doing. And there it is. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Wait a minute, doesn't that sound like rest? Huh? Wait a minute. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That doesn't sound at all like resting, putting a yoke on, does it? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a yoke upon you, Christian, if the yoke is a wooden one. The yoke that you get when you get saved is a wooden yoke. It's a yoke that's not supposed to carry a big load, but it is supposed to carry a load. And as a Christian, we must understand something. If you forsake the servitude of Jesus Christ, you're taking that yoke and breaking it. Let me tell you something. I never said serving Christ was easy. But you have help with the carrying. A lot of you have went through problems in your family. A lot of you, and it's amazing how often we don't ask the Lord to help. How many times is prayer the last resort? How many times is talking to the Lord the last resort? You want to get through it all on your own. You're tough. What you did is you broke the wooden yoke and put on an iron yoke where you're going to bear all the burden. You're going to bear the heavy burden all by yourself, and you're going to walk with that iron yoke. And let me explain something to you. God takes that real serious. The reason he takes that serious is because he's asking you, imploring you, begging you, and even commanding you, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You do have a yoke. You've got a choice. You can have your own or you can have his. I'm talking to Christians today. Lost folk can't have a yoke. Lost folk have the yoke of the world, and they don't even understand this. You get saved, you change yokes, and you put on a wooden yoke. A yoke, and according to Jeremiah, a wooden yoke, and I'm using this as an illustration, that wooden yoke was never made to carry very much burden, but it was made to carry a burden. We as Christians know that we have a burden. Your burden ought to be for lost folk. Your burden ought to be for the sin of this world. Your burden ought to be for people that are walking around aimlessly, thinking that it's all right to be a homosexual, thinking it's all right to be an alcoholic, thinking it's all right to be a drug addict, thinking it's all right to let your kids off in a pornography, to thinking it's all right to let your kids listen to dirty, rotten rock music, thinking that's all right. That is a different yoke. I want you to take the yoke of Jesus Christ upon you. Well, I can't live as a Christian. Oh, yes, you can. I've heard so many times, I can't adhere to all the rules. You're adhering to rules and you don't even realize you're doing it. Can I ask you a question? And I thought about the police officers a lot since we went yesterday to that seminar. What if we had no police? Wait a minute. What if we had no law? The strong would survive, and you're not that strong. What would happen if we had no rules? Think about your Christian school for a minute. What if we had no rules? Kids were allowed to do whatever they want. Then it would be public school. No. I tell you, think about the kids up in Strongsville. The reports coming out of that place were it was nuts. The teachers were gone. They did whatever they want. Then you put lawlessness into a situation, what do you get? You get a heavy yoke. See, your yoke comes upon you. I got to be honest with you. The days that I was running from the Lord, preacher, were much heavier of a yoke than the days serving the Lord. It is much heavier of a yoke to be a Christian that is serving the world than a Christian that is serving the Lord. I'll give you an illustration. An iron yoke carries this table all on its own. Because the Lord's not going to help you carry the yoke of the world. You think the Lord's going to help you support the queers? Do you think the Lord's going to help you in your alcoholism to be an alcoholic? Do you think the Lord's going to buy beer for you? You think the Lord's going to make sure you've got the dope you need? No, the burden falls on you to get that stuff. This is good if you listen. The burden falls upon you. Why does an alcoholic crave alcohol so much? Because he's bearing the burden alone, and he's got to have it, and it doesn't matter what it takes. They'll sell all that they have to make sure that burden is taken care of, and the burden falls upon them, solely upon them. You think you're going to find help from a family member to be an alcoholic? They're not going to help you. The burden of the world is a very difficult burden. Why are the people going so crazy today? Because they've got an iron yoke upon them. They serve somebody. Let me help you. You're serving somebody. We act like, well, I can't serve God. You're serving somebody. Not one person in here runs the world. Does anybody, if you run the world, I'd like to meet you afterwards. I got some issues. Nobody in here is in charge of the planet. So you serve somebody. Who do you serve? Do you serve the one that can give you a yoke of wood? Look at what the Bible says. I want you to see this because we as Christians are missing the boat. We as Christians are saying, I can't afford to serve God. Let me explain something to you. You can't afford not to serve God. This world is too hard. You need to understand something. Get yourself out of the way. By the way, if you serve, by the way, you can serve yourself. Yourself can be your master. Did you know that? And the vast majority of the time, it's either Christ or you that you serve. And if you serve yourself and you've got your best interest at mind, well, the way the world teaches you today, you've got your best interest at mind. Let me ask you a question. When the last time you saw somebody on the side of the road, you thought, man, I should stop and help them? You can't because it's crazy. You can't because you've got to serve you. That's why I enjoy the motorcyclist so much. You ride in a motorcycle, you see a motorcycle pulled off the side of the road. What do you got to do? What do you got to do, David? Why do you have to? You have to stop. It's an unwritten rule. You drive by on a motorcycle, you might wreck 2 miles down the road because they don't like that. You got to stop and help. Where did that go? Well, you could get killed in this day and age. You know what? That's a heavy burden. But let me explain something to you. In this world, Brother Meyer, I would rather see you succeed. And this is going to sound stupid. You may not believe this. I want to see men succeed for the Lord. I want to help them to succeed for the Lord. I don't want to stop somebody from serving the Lord or stop somebody from getting right with God or stop somebody. I want their burden to be light. Yet we try to face that burden alone and you trade the yoke. You trade it off. The Lord is imploring you as a Christian today, come unto me. Because you're serving somebody. Come unto me. You are wearing a yoke. Come unto me. Just a few people? What does it say? Come unto me, all ye that labor. How many work in here? How many work too much in here, I'll tell you. You say, I'm retired. Just because you're retired doesn't mean you don't work. I've watched retired folk work a lot more, and they wish they were back in their jobs. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You ever felt like your shoulders were stooped? I'm not talking from osteoporosis. You should have had more milk. You know what? If we would have never got rid of the red cap milk, you probably wouldn't have that. You ever felt like this? You ever felt the weight? It seems like the weight of the world. You want to see a man stoop his shoulders, get him in financial trouble. You ever felt that, fellas? Financial trouble? Oh, my Lord, have mercy. My wife got so lucky when she married me. I brought her nothing but financial trouble. We got married and all I did was dump her into debt. But you know what? But we still got married. This is a side note. I'm having fun this morning. A side note. Why in the world are you waiting to get married because of finances? Do you think your financial picture is going to get better if you wait? I'll just get out of debt and then get married. You're going to get married and you're going to go into debt. It's amazing to me why people put off wedding. I tell you, I couldn't wait to be married to my wife. I couldn't wait. I'm going to tell you right now. I said, honey, I'm in debt. Yeah, I know. Let's get married. I wasn't worried. It took us 11 years before I paid off my last credit card. $19,000 in debt by the age of 19 years old. I was a credit card champion. And what kind of yoke was that? Tammy Lynn, that was a yoke. Good Lord, we dealt with that yoke for 11 years. That iron yoke. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord helped us, and the Lord started taking that yoke off. And I tell you, I got sick of the yoke of iron. I got sick of it. And I said, you know what, God, I'm taking this one off. He said, come unto me. I'm going to go ahead and come. He said, come unto me. And I got a different yoke. Now listen, you can get rid of the yoke of iron, but you will have another yoke. The yoke is coming. What in the world is it in America today that we feel like we ought not work, yet we ought to be rich? That's the crazy mentality that's been fed to us for the last, 6 years now. Why in the world do you think that somebody ought not work, yet they ought to be wealthy? I guarantee you my brother-in-law puts up with that at the Cadillac dealership every single day. Do you have a job? No, but I'd like a new Cadillac. Am I wrong, brother? I'm going to tell you, what in the world do you think? I love this. As Christians, we think that too. Now, hold on. Boy, they're going to get mad at me, preacher. But let me ask you a question. Okay, you got saved, so you're owed something? Oh, boy, that went over like a lead balloon. You got saved, and God still owes you. Wait a minute. Oh, God, please save my soul and take my sin-cursed, wretched soul. Take me to heaven when I die. Amen. God, why aren't you giving me a new car? This ain't Wheel of Fortune. Not only do you get saved, you also get a new car. It's amazing how Christians feel like they're owed something. God, why are you doing this to me? Because God has every right. I would love one time for God to speak to you. You're not smart. I don't owe you anything. I owe everything to Him. And then He says to me, come unto me. But Lord, all I'm giving you is a sinner. Bill, when He saved you, did He get an unsinful person? Did He get somebody in their life? I'm talking to servants today. I want to get you to think. I counsel children all the time that are against their parents. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. My mom doesn't give me new Air Jordan shoes, and I get real mad about that. Let me explain something to you. I ask the children every single time I deal with them, did you pay the mortgage? I'll come back to you in a minute. I ask the children, did you pay for the heat? Was your house warm last night? It was warm. Did you pay that bill? Did you pay for your bed? Parents, you ought to use this tactic. Did you pay for the cereal you ate this morning? It wasn't the right kind. Did you pay for the water that you washed yourself with? Did you pay for the clothes? Did you pay for the car that you rode in to come here? Children don't pay for anything. Quit acting like you owe them something. And I let me tell you, children are raised in a mentality today that every single thing is owed to them. You've got to give them more than your parents gave you. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to be right up front with you. When I was young, we were poor. Poor. But let me give you something. It's going to sound crazy. I'm glad for my upbringing. Do you know why I'm glad for my upbringing? Because I respect what I have now. Do you realize I am a fat Baptist preacher? I have food. I'll get back, take my yoke upon you. This is where I'm at right now. I have food. I am driving a 2012 minivan. 2012. My dad bought one new car in his life. One. He held onto that dumb thing for about 25,000 years. He pushed it the last 100 feet into the scrapyard. There were days we didn't have milk. And today, you get social services called on you if you don't have milk. Why do we feel like we have to give our children more than we had? That's every parent's dream. It's your dream to raise a spoiled brat? I'm not saying to take stuff away from your kids. I'm not saying, I know I sound like the father of the year right now. But I appreciate everything my daddy did for me. I appreciate the fact that maybe he didn't give me everything I wanted. But when I was young, he took care of me. When I lived in my house, he never asked me to pay the mortgage. Let me help you. Christian, why are you so different? Oh, this is good stuff. It got quiet in a hurry now. Christian, why are you so different? Well, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. At least I get a side of beef once in a while. You don't think God's taking care of you? You better be careful, Christian. God is good all the time. When God is not good? When you take your yoke off. Boy, this is good stuff this morning. I know in your mind you're not liking this, but you need to switch yokes. Get that yoke of iron off of you. Quit carrying a burden alone. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He did not say that you would not labor and you would not be heavy laden. He just said, come unto him. We will have a burden. Preacher, we will have a burden. I don't care how much you get into the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have a burden, and you deserve to have a burden. You will have a burden. Christian, you have a burden today. What burden are you carrying? Are you carrying an unnecessary burden with a yoke of iron, all alone, facing the world and trying to get through? Or would you take that iron yoke off and put on the wooden yoke of Jesus Christ and bear the burden that he would have you to bear? Look at what this says. Come unto me, verse 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's not a hope so. It does not say I may. It does not say I might. It says I will give you rest. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just get some rest? Did it say your burden would go away? Never says in the Bible he will take your burden. It says he'll help you. Look at this now. And I will give you rest. Look at this. It does not. Does it say to remove? Huh? No, it says to take it. Take my yoke upon you. We got to think about what is Christ's yoke. What is Christ's yoke? I don't even know how to do that, brother. What is Christ's yoke? Well, I think I've got some pretty smart people in here. My thought is that his yoke is what he would have you to do. Amen? His yoke is what he would have you to do. Sometimes his yoke is standing for the right. Amen? Sometimes his yoke is witnessing to people. Sometimes his yoke is cleaning a toilet at your church. Sometimes your yoke is picking up a piece of paper and not going up to the microphone and saying to me, I don't know who put the paper on the floor, but you better stop. I don't want you to put the paper on the floor. I don't want you to litter in God's house. And shame on you for littering in the sanctuary of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just a building. This is God's house. And yes, I think you ought to pick up your gum wrapper. But if you don't, and this is not popular. I get people talk to me about this all the time. If you see it, it's 35 or 40 steps to the trash can. Pick it up. And leave the grudge there. The thing that makes you mad. I had an associate pastor in this church one time pick up a bunch of pieces of paper from my teenagers, take them and dump them on my desk because he was so mad about the teenagers putting trash here. I'm sorry, I had 30 teenagers here. I'm sorry, where were the 30 teenagers? They were in church. I'll put up with a gum wrapper. And if it's a real upsetting thing and you can't pick it up, and you can't bring yourself to take care of God's house, what yoke is upon you right now? I'm just asking. If you can't take Christ's yoke upon you and pick up the piece of paper, you're going to put a yoke of iron on you and go to the crowd and say, I don't understand it, but I'm not picking that up. You've got the wrong yoke. What would Christ's yoke be? Let's look at this. Take my yoke upon you. Here it is. Learn of me. Learn of me. How do we do that? We come to church. How do you do that? Every time the doors are open, we come to church. How do we do that? We get into our Bible. How do we do that? We watch other people that may know more than you about Christ. Uh-oh. Now see, there you say watch people. No. I say watch the faith of people. I talked about this last week because service goes hand in hand with faithfulness. I talked about Brother Larry last week and Brother Danny last week, how long they've served the Lord. Talked about Brother Carl. I only hope and pray that I serve the Lord as long as they do. I want to show myself faithful. Learn of me. Christ would be faithful. Christ would be, he's been faithful to you for a very long time. I'm sure he would like you to be faithful to him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek. And that blows America right out of the water. I am meek. I am willing to say that someone is better than me. I'm willing to say that someone is better than me. The Bible teaches you to look at every brother as above you. Just before Jesus goes to the garden, what did he do? Does anybody remember? He got down on his knee and washed the filthy feet of his disciples. He, even at that time, was trying to teach them to be a servant, to consider others above yourself. That's the burden of the Lord. Do you know what an iron yoke is? Trying to convince everybody you're better than them. See, here's the thing. I don't worry about getting up here and my voice cracking when I'm singing. Listen, you know going in, you're going to hear that. I'm okay with that. I don't have to be the best. But what I want to do is my best for the Lord. I don't have to be the best preacher in all of America ever. I know a lot of folks hold up Dr. Hiles, and what a great man. And he probably was, if not the greatest preacher, one of the greatest preachers of all time. I'm not him. But I can be the best Dave Ballard I can be for Christ. And do you know how do you do that the best way? Is to serve Brother Coolidge. To serve Brother Marty. This is not easy. This is not your nature. Your nature is wanting people to serve you. Your nature is not wanting to help. Your nature is wanting to get out. Your nature is wanting to leave and go do what you want to do. That's your nature. And let me tell you, people do what they want to do. We've got to change our wants. If you want to serve Christ, take his yoke upon you, his burden. Take it upon you because it is a whole lot lighter than the iron yoke of the world. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Do you know what the Lord would like to have you do as a servant? Ask him what he wants. There's a lot of things that are easy, preacher. You don't have to pray about coming to church. You don't, God, should I go to church? Come on. You don't have to pray about that. Let me help you out. You don't have to pray about putting in your tithe. Let me help you. It's been prayed about. You're supposed to put it in. If you don't, it's a curse. It's not a guess I'll do it. You say, well, I can't pay my bills. That's because you've got an iron yoke on you. This is good stuff. Take that yoke off, put his yoke on. Listen, I was telling preacher yesterday, the Lord has not ceased to give me a funeral since I upped my missions. The Lord takes care of me by giving me a little extra money here and there by preaching funerals. He's taken care of the bill. I up my missions. Whatever, you can say whatever you want to. I don't care what you do. I'm telling you what's happened to me. I decided, Lord, because I put a number on there. You ever done that? You put a number on there and you know that's not the right number. That's the Ananias and Sapphira number. Huh? Boy, that would be cool if that would happen once in a while. Here, Lord, I'm giving you my $20 bill when I know I'm supposed to give $25. Down you go. Then your wife walks in. Anyways. Hey, listen. The Lord has taken care of it. His burden has been light. His burden. You say, well, you have to go out and work for it. He did say it was a burden. But it's his burden. And I'm telling you right now, if you can get in your mind, I don't want to be a servant of the Lord. If you're not serving the Lord, you are serving something. You are serving somebody. And I can promise you that if you don't serve the Lord, you are taking that wooden yoke and breaking it and opting for the iron one. You will serve someone. You are serving someone. Who are you serving? The Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. Are you serving money? Not saying money's not important. I'd like to have a whole wheelbarrow full of it. But would God be pleased? Does God want me to have that? I'm not sure what God wants for my life, but I do know this. He wants me to take his burden. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You're searching for rest. You're searching for a day off. You're searching for a moment. You're searching for time that you can just breathe for a minute. You're searching for it. It's in Christ. That's where the break is. For my yoke is a yoke, but it's an easy yoke. And my burden, it is a burden, but that burden is light. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen? Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the Sunday school hour. Oh God, please, in my heart, Lord, you've got to help me to see that I need to be serving you more. Oh Lord, you need to help me knock that iron yoke off. And Lord, you need to help me put that wooden yoke back on. Oh God, please help. So many times we get wrapped up in what this world would have us to do, and we get wrapped up in what we think is right, Lord. I don't want to be a person that just does what is right in his own eyes, Lord. I want to do what's right in your eyes. And Lord, I do not accomplish that very well. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, to be a better servant for you. Help me to take your yoke, because I believe you help me carry yours. Lord, please, be with our folks. Be with the biker blessing tonight. Lord, bring lost folks. I want to be able to ask them where they're going to make their last ride. Oh, God, please, let them know that we love them. Out of all the things that the biker blessing does, I want them to know that they have a friend at Bethel Baptist Church and people that love them very much. Lord, I pray especially for Tom. I hope he comes. Oh, God, be with him. Please, I know he's suffering. I know he's in pain. But, Lord, please let him come. And, Lord, again, be with that blessing. Be with all of our riders this year. Let them, Lord, be safe. But let them know that you love them. And, Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.